NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, Anna Ternheim aus Schweden. Und sie hat ein neues Album, A Space for Lost Time. Sie kommt gleich sofort. Erstmal Musik von diesem neuen Album. Hier ist jetzt This is the One. Das war This is the One von Anna Ternheim von ihrem neuen Album, A Space for Lost Time. Und sie ist bei mir im Studio. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Glad you can make it.
I'm so glad to be here.
I was warned that you might be a little bit the worse for wear and tear, but you sound wonderful to me.
I mean, I got my water here. I rested. I'm in good shape.
Right, very good. So, I mean, obviously, this is not the first time you're going through the rigmaroles of promotional activity and so forth. I mean, you're well seasoned in that respect. And has anything changed now, a few years on since you started, in terms of your attitude towards a new record, or just the way you feel about things emotionally? I mean, do you feel you've matured in that sense, or you just got used to it? Or
I feel it's more fun. Everything's gotten more fun. It's gotten easier. For some reason, in the beginning, despite all the good things that happened to me right off the start with my first record when it came out in Sweden, there was just a lot of conflicting emotions and a lot of worry and, I don't know, self-doubt. I questioned whether I could be a musician or not for quite a number of years when I was putting out music. And now sort of that has subsided and disappeared, and I feel so much more at ease with what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, and that I need to do what is important to me and the kind of music that, you know, basically just to make the music that I'm making without questioning that. So it's just, I don't know, it's just gotten more fun, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And you've just obviously, you found the right kind of place for you in the world, so to speak. I mean, if this is what the thing is, when people are younger, they're still trying to work out who they are, so they're not 100% sure maybe is this the right thing or not. But as time goes by, then you prove to yourself, don't you?
You prove to yourself, and maybe you have, I think I always had an instinct about what is right and wrong and what I want to do, and I follow that instinct, but it wasn't completely clear. And I think what becomes more clear is also what you're not about, what you don't need to reach for or compete with, and your own path just becomes more clear. And in that sense, it just becomes more fun. I mean, in many people's eyes, after this is my seventh album now, you know, I'm considered established, whereas I can still feel that I'm in the beginning of something, because now I had all this time to learn what it is that I'm doing, and, you know, the craft of songwriting and meeting musicians that, you know, blow life into the songs, and I feel that it's so much easier to navigate and do what it is that I do.
Okay. Ja, also Anna meint, dass das Leben für sie eigentlich einfacher geworden ist. Sie stellt sich das eigentlich so als weniger anstrengend vor als früher. Sie hat sich einfach damit abgefunden, dass es jetzt ihr Leben ist und dass sie das Leben führt, das sie leben möchte. Als sie angefangen hat, am Anfang ihrer Karriere, dann hat sie schon einen gewissen Selbstzweifel gehabt. Und es gab so, ja, so verschiedene Emotionen, die sie gehabt hat, die miteinander ein bisschen in Konflikt gekommen sind. Aber inzwischen hat sie das alles beiseite geräumt und jetzt ist sie überzeugt, dass sie auf dem richtigen Weg ist. Und das ist ein Vorteil vom Älterwerden. Und sie glaubt, dass sie immer einen gewissen Instinkt gehabt hat, dass es richtig war, was sie tut. Aber sie war nicht so hundertprozentig überzeugt. Und das ist irgendwas, was sie einfach jetzt im Laufe der Jahre gelernt hat, einfach selbstbewusster zu werden. Und ihr Selbstwertgefühl ist quasi jetzt gestiegen. Also sie weiß ganz genau, was sie wert ist und was sie kann. Und das neue Album ist das siebte Album. Und sie sagt, dass viele Leute sagen, okay, sie ist jetzt schon eine etablierte Künstlerin. Und sie meinte, einerseits stimmt das, andererseits spürt sie, dass es fast wie es wieder am Anfang ist, auf irgendeine Weise, weil sie immer noch so viel zu beweisen hat. Und sie hat wirklich ihr Handwerk jetzt gelernt. Und es gibt so viele Ideen, die sie noch umsetzen möchte. Und sie denkt, dass einfach das Leben einfach und spaßiger geworden ist. Auch die ganzen Musiker, die sie kennengelernt hat, die dazu geführt hat, dass Songs, die sie geschrieben haben, ein neues Leben bekommen. Und es sind immer wieder interessante Begegnungen, immer wieder spannende Begegnungen. Und jetzt hören wir noch ein Stück von ihrem neuen Album, Das Album heißt A Space for Lost Time. Hier ist Anna Ternheim mit Every Time We Fall. Every Time We Fall von dem Album A Space for Lost Time von Anna Ternheim. Und sie ist jetzt bei mir im Studio. It does actually sound, right from the beginning of the album, this is the one, which is the reason I started off with that track, because there is an innate confidence which oozes out of this album, I think. It just sounds so self-assured. It sounds like an artist is really, really happy with herself and happy with what she's doing. That's kind of the basic feel to it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, it makes me happy to hear. I wanted to make a distinct album, if that makes sense. I wanted it to be crystal clear, and for it to be no doubt about the songs or where they needed to go. And I mean, if that comes across, that makes me happy.
I mean, you've come a long way from playing guitar at the age of 10, which is what I read somewhere.
Yeah, but honestly, as a guitar player, I haven't come that far. I mean, I'm still struggling. I am struggling with all the physical obstacles still. I'm cheating my way forward as a piano player, and I'm struggling with the guitar. But I think maybe that resistance is a part of what keeps it interesting for me. It's like I learn something new for every record.
But I think I've got this theory about that musicians who don't regard themselves as being all that amazingly competent or sophisticated, that the gut feeling tends to stay purer because they don't get confused with too much sophistication. You know, the basic spirit of it stays. And I think maybe that's important, to not get carried away with too much fancy musicianship.
Yeah, maybe. I feel people come from these two directions. Either you're technical and you learn music the way you're supposed to with reading music and all the theory behind it. Or I'm self-taught. I learn most by just playing. And
so you're a punk rocker, basically.
Yeah, basically I am. And goth singer-songwriter, that's what I am. Goth folk is what I call my own genre. But
goth folk.
Goth folk.
Right. Okay.
So I guess from when you come from that side, you don't really like the expression is there all along. Like you know what it is that you want to do, then you need to figure out how to do it. Whereas when you got all the technical skills, maybe then there's a different search. I still a lot comes also when all the instruments just. When you can do whatever you want with, say, a trumpet, you know, then there's like Miles Davis and then you have like everything just fits and there's just like pure expression. And that's, I mean, that is, yeah. Few people get to that place. But when, I mean, there are musicians when the instrument sort of just becomes a part of the soul. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, but you feel like in some way you're slightly restricted by limitations, but I mean, you come to terms with being with those limitations, or you're still constantly struggling against them. Are you still dreaming of becoming an outstanding pianist, for example? Or?
No, I realize I'm not interested enough to become that. I think my ego wants to be an outstanding pianist, but then I don't put in the time, and I don't. So apparently I don't think it is important or fun enough to only be, you know, technically, to reach some sort of technical perfection on the piano. When it comes to songwriting, though, there's always been this passion that draws me back. I mean, that's where I spend my hours. And that's what I really, that's what no one has to ever ask me to do.
Okay. Ja, also Anna sagt, dass es ihre Absicht war mit diesem neuen Album, dass der Sound sehr markant sein sollte. So glasklar, also total fokussiert und sie denkt, dass es ihr auch ganz gut gelungen ist. Das war so ihre Absicht mit der Produktion der Platte. Und sie hat angefangen mit 10 Jahren Gitarre zu spielen, aber sie meint, dass sie sich immer noch nicht wirklich als eine besonders kompetente Musikerin betrachtet. Sie spielt Klavier und Gitarre, aber sie hält sich nicht für technisch begabt. Und sie hat zum Beispiel nie gelernt, Notenblätter zu lesen. Und ihre Herangehensweise ist einfach immer anders gewesen. Und einerseits beneidet sie Musiker wie Miles Davis, die dann so gut Trompete spielen können und die dann so ihre Seele offenbaren können mit ihrem reinen Ausdruck, mit ihrem Instrument. Aber das ist einfach nicht so ihr Ding letztendlich. Und sie hat sich letztendlich mit ihren Einschränkungen abgefunden, weil sie nie bereit war, die Zeit zu investieren, um wirklich extrem gut zu werden und besonders kultiviert zu sein als und technisch begabt oder technisch kompetent zu werden als Musikerin. Aber am wichtigsten für sie ist die Leidenschaft des Songwriting. Das hat ihr nie Mühe gekostet. Und das ist das, worauf sie immer wieder zurückkommt. Und das ist das, womit sie ihre Zeit eigentlich verbringt. Also vernünftige Songs zu schreiben und also mit einer Leidenschaft. Und ich sagte so als Scherz, dass sie eigentlich so eine Punk-Rock-Attitüde hat. Sie meinte ja im Grunde genommen, ja, sie nennt ihre Musik also Goth-Folk. Right. So, I was gonna play You Belong With Me, but maybe you should listen to a goth folk song instead. I don't know. It's up to you. And we can stick to the plan, You Belong With Me, because I think that it keeps the momentum of the album going so well, I think, which was probably a conscious thing to do, wasn't it?
Placing it as the track number two?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for people that listen to albums know how important the tracking order is. And I still spend a lot of time figuring out what order to experience the songs in. So, yeah, that is the perfect number two.
Right, so nobody's allowed to use their shuffle shuffle button. Okay.
Exactly.
Wir hören das zweite Stück vom Album jetzt. Vorhin hatten wir das erste Stück. Und ich finde es wichtig, dieses Stück jetzt zu spielen, weil es so der Schwung des Albums also wird also effektiv beibehalten, dadurch, dass das jetzt auf Platz 2 quasi platziert ist. Hier ist You Belong With Me von Anna Ternheim, von dem neuen Album A Space for Lost Time. And that's why You Belong With Me von Anna Ternheim, von ihrem neuen Album A Space for Lost Time. What kind of lost time are we talking about actually here?
That's a good question. Maybe the time when everything can be reversed and, you know, there's still a chance to undo all the things you shouldn't have done. The title just came to me when the record was almost finished. I didn't really know what it meant. I liked the way it sounded. I liked because it gave me all these images and ideas and connected the song somehow. And maybe ultimately it's a place within each person that you can find, you know, when you feel that everything's possible and, you know.
And I was also thinking about a quality of your music being, it has a timeless quality in a sense, because you don't get wrapped up in particular trends. You know, it's not youth culture, but it's also not, I mean, it could really, it almost exists, you know, out of a particular time. You know, I think it, you know, I could imagine like in 20 years time, it will sound just as relevant as it does now. It's very difficult to actually, you know, there's lots of music where you can actually say, well, that sounds like very 80s or that sounds very 90s. Especially when it comes down to guitar bands, for example. You know, they sound like post-punk from the early 80s or they sound like grunge from the 90s or whatever, or like Britpop. And that doesn't apply to you. I mean, you call yourself goth folk, but, I mean, if you think about, you know, the goth musicians people will know of, you wouldn't really think of Anna Ternheim, you know, so that must be a bit tongue-in-cheek. You know what I'm saying? There's something you're a bit kind of out there on your own in that respect.
Yeah, because I just don't really keep track, I guess. I don't know.
You're not going to do any R&B remixes anytime soon, then?
No, I mean, it would be fun to try to do one. I think the actual when I make music, I just close off, and it becomes a. I pull in influences that I've gotten throughout my life. When I listen to music, it's also not really, you know, bound by time. I mean, I started listening to Radiohead 10 years after everyone. So in a way, it's like I don't really keep up with trends or know what the trends are. Okay. I listen to a lot of music. But when it comes to the actual making, I guess it just starts somewhere else. I don't really have a good question, or I don't have a good answer for you.
Maybe that is the answer. You see, this is the whole point. Yeah. Maybe actually that is the answer to my question. Yeah. Okay. Ja, sie sagt, dass das Album Space for Lost Time so heißt, weil es so der Gedanke ist, wie schön es wäre, wenn man die Uhr zurückdrehen könnte und Dinge, die man verkehrt gemacht hat, dass man das wieder korrigieren könnte. Aber das geht natürlich dann nicht. Also sie meinte, es war nicht wirklich so ein Albumtitel, der von besonderer Bedeutung für sie ist. Es fiel erst ziemlich spät ein und schien irgendwie die Songs miteinander zu verbinden. Aber nicht auf so eine wichtige Art und Weise, die sie unbedingt als Botschaft vermitteln möchte. Und ich meinte, dass für mich, was das Thema Zeit betrifft, dass ihre Musik eine zeitlose Qualität hat. Also es ist Musik, die hätte irgendwie vor 20 Jahren gemacht werden können. Ich kann mir vorstellen, wenn es in 20 Jahren gehört wird, dass man eigentlich das immer noch als relevant und als aktuell und als zeitgemäß betrachten wird. Und sie sagt, es kommt wahrscheinlich daher, weil sie sich nicht wirklich so für Trends interessiert oder sie verfolgt nicht wirklich so neue Entwicklungen. Sie ist eher das Gegenteil. Sie hat zum Beispiel Radiohead erst kennengelernt, erst nach 10 Jahren, nachdem die Band gegründet wurde. Insofern, sie konsumiert schon viel Musik, aber es ist auf keinen Fall an einen bestimmten Zeitpunkt gebunden. Because you're living in New York City, aren't you, these days?
Yeah.
And has that actually changed your creativity in any way? I mean, do you write songs in a different way now than you did when you were in Stockholm? Because, I mean, obviously they're very different cities, aren't they, Stockholm and New York City?
They're very different, and New York gives me a strange peace of mind, which might sound odd for being such a chaotic place. But there's something about the noise there that just...
calms you down.
That calms me down. And also it's a place that I chose to live that's not really... not because of music or because of career. It was more just... a choice because it feeds my soul, and now I've been there for 11 years, and and yes, it has affected my songwriting. I don't think, I mean, the last 3 records I recorded in the States, and I've been both in New York and in Nashville, and now this last time in LA, I met a lot of musicians.
This one was done in LA?
This one was done in LA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I've definitely like brought things into my Swedish world.
Okay.
And then I also think with New York, it's like I can get the peace and quiet, but as soon as I have the hunger for adventure and discovery, I just step out, and you have everything, you know, at your feet, and you know, music, art, you know. Just people watching. It's a mix of everything, and I don't know. It just makes me feel, yeah.
Okay.
It makes me feel good.
Ja, sie lebt schon seit 11 Jahren in New York, und sie meinte, es ist zwar eine seltsame Aussage, aber sie spürt so eine innere Ruhe, seitdem sie da in New York City lebt. Man würde natürlich denken, es wäre genau das Gegenteil, weil die Stadt so laut und chaotisch ist. Einfach so ein extremer Lärmpegel. Aber sie meinte, sie genießt das eigentlich. Sie hat ihre Ruhe, wenn sie die haben möchte. Und dann, wenn sie natürlich dann irgendwie so was erleben möchte, dann gibt es keine bessere Stadt auf der Welt. Für Abenteuer und überhaupt, was Musik und Kultur betrifft. Und das hat sie sehr inspiriert, auch als Künstlerin. Das hat auf jeden Fall ihr Songwriting beeinflusst. Sie hat allerdings ihre Platten in verschiedenen Städten in den letzten Jahren aufgenommen. Also sie hat Platten in New York City aufgenommen, auch in Nashville. Und dieses Album ist in Los Angeles entstanden. Aber dieselbe Regel gilt einfach, dass ihr Leben in Amerika führt dazu, dass sie als Künstlerin sich richtig lebendig fühlt. So I thought I'd give you a choice now. What would you like to hear from the album now? Have you got the tracks in your head? Would you want to see the track list?
No, I got them in my head. Let's listen to... this is one of my own... favorites, When You Were Mine.
When You Were Mine, which I've...
it's track number 4.
I would have played this myself, because I actually put across to it. So we obviously have the same taste in music.
Well, should I pick something else?
No, that's fine. That would have been my next choice otherwise, if you hadn't come up with something. Yeah. Okay. See, it's in for When You Were Mine, von dem neuen album, A Space for Lost Time von Anna Ternheim. So that's why When You Were Mine, von dem neuen album, A Space for Lost Time von Anna Ternheim, as he sits by me im Studio. I think when it comes down to this record, I think what is quite charming about it is that there is a... on the one hand, the pretty arrangements in many cases, but there's a simplicity about it all still. It doesn't get over cluttered. I think that simplicity comes over, which is against this punk attitude we were talking about. It was a bit far fetched to call it punk, but you know what I'm saying?
It's, yeah.
Which keeps it fresh, it keeps it in some way close to the bone.
I like simplicity, and I like for the beautiful things that are on there to actually be heard. And I'm always drawn to beautiful melodies, but also to sort of when there's some sort of friction that I also hope the album achieves, that it's not just pretty, but there's a, you know, a contrast to that. And there's this dark synth world and on this record that also sort of works against all the...
The synth world?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It happens more there in the background. There's actually a lot of stuff on this record. It's a lot of work to make it sound so simple. But that's something that the producer, Tom Monahan, really brought into the world.
So what was his name, Tom?
Tom Monahan.
Monahan. Okay, so you reckon that he's contributed a lot to...
Yeah, the little, you know, the slight touch of Enya on this record, I think that he brought to the table.
Okay. Ja, ich sagte, dass mein Eindruck des Albums ist, dass es eine charmante Platte ist, weil einerseits sind die Arrangements teilweise schon relativ üppig und aufwendig. Dennoch wird anscheinend so eine Schlichtheit angestrebt vom Feeling her. Und das hat sie auch bestätigt. Sie meinte, das ist irgendwie schon ein bisschen paradox. Auf der einen Seite haben sie sehr viel Arbeit reingesteckt, damit das Album, damit also alles wirklich perfekt umgesetzt wird. Aber andererseits trotzdem ist eine gewisse Schlichtheit und Einfachheit als Feeling, als Attitüde, die rüberkommt. Und sie meinte, dass der Produzent Tom Monahan hat viel damit zu tun. Auch die Synthesizer-Arrangements spielen auch eine große Rolle bei dem Album. Und sie fühlt sich schon ein bisschen angezogen zu sehr schönen Melodien. Und es ist natürlich eine Frage der Gratwanderung, dass man einfach so das richtige Feeling dann vermittelt. Of course, you're probably sick of hearing about kind of about your Swedish background and whether it's relevant and stuff like that. But it does interest me, the fact that so many Swedish musicians seem to manage to combine this pop world of really pretty prettiness, you know, pretty melodies with this melancholy. And maybe it's because people don't have so much of an idea of what Swedish people are like. You know, if you talk about Italians, everybody's got an opinion what Italians are like, or Spanish people, whatever. But when it comes to Scandinavians, people are not quite sure what are they really like, you know. And so it explains to a certain extent maybe what they are like, and we found that interesting. Because it's not just you, but, I mean, lots of bands from your generation have made some really beautiful pop music from Sweden with that same kind of essential feel of this mixture of really beautiful melodies and melancholy. But it's a bit melancholy, still in a commercial way, like in a pop way.
Yeah, there's something about the melodies. Even when you go back and listen to all folk music, it's very melodic. And it's almost like maybe you find traces or an answer there. That it's... I grew up with this jazz pianist called Jan Johansson.
What's his name, sorry?
Jan Johansson. Jan Johansson,
yeah.
Who played jazz out of old piano, out of old traditional Swedish folk songs, among other things that he played also. And I mean, going back listening to that, it's like, yeah, it's somehow even related to the modern pop music today. It's the melodies. It's the a melancholy and a yearning, a longing, maybe. It's also cliches. People explain it with the long winters and the harsh climate and all this. But then, mm-hmm. You know, there's always some truth to,
of course,
cliches. Maybe the guilt we're carrying, or the shame. I don't know. But it. I mean, I even went to L.A. to try to invite some more sunshine into my music, or at least see what was going to happen. And when I listen, it still sounds, you know, pretty close to the roots. Like it,
right, so as if you're actually recording in Lapland.
Almost. And next time, maybe I'll just go to Lapland and see what happens then. Going to L.A. didn't really transform.
If you go,
yeah,
you probably end up making
music.
A record that sounds like L.A. then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Ich fragte sie, ob sie das Geheimnis lüften kann, warum es so viele schöne, melodische, melancholische Popmusik aus Schweden gibt, und schon seit Jahrzehnten inzwischen. Und sie kann es nicht wirklich erklären, aber sie hat es auch bestätigt, dass es so ist. Sie meinte, das hat vielleicht irgendwas mit der Folkmusik des Landes zu tun. Und viele von uns kennen uns nicht wirklich mit der schwedischen Folkmusik aus. Aber sie meinte, dass die Wurzeln von der schwedischen Popmusik liegen in Zweifel in dieser Vergangenheit der schwedischen Folkmusik, die auch melodisch und melancholisch ist oft. Und Anne ist selbst sehr stark von einem Jazz-Pianisten beeinflusst worden oder inspiriert worden, als er jung war, John Johansson. Und er war zwar Jazz-Pianist, aber hat oft so schwedische Folk-Songs neu interpretiert, so mit Jazz-Arrangements. Und das fand sie auch sehr inspirierend. Und das war auch so einerseits sehr melodisch, aber sehr melancholisch. Und solche Musik hatte so eine Sehnsucht, die ausgestrahlt wurde. Und das ist das, was sie auch hat, gibt sie auch zu. Und sie sagt, dass dieses Album in Los Angeles entstanden ist. Und sie hat geglaubt, dass vielleicht Kalifornien würde so einen Einfluss dann auf ihre Arbeitsweise haben oder auf die Stimmung. Aber sie meinte, das ist im Prinzip gar nicht der Fall. Es klingt eigentlich immer noch, als ob es Musik ist, die in Schweden hätte entstehen können. Sie meinte, es gibt viele klischeehafte Vorstellungen, dass, ja, das Klima ist so rau, die Winter sind so lang, kein Wunder, dass die Musik so melancholisch ist. Aber manchmal sind Klischees halt relevant und wichtig. So we're going to hear another song now, Walk Your Own Way, which is, you can almost start dancing to that, you know, it's...
Oh wow, that makes me happy. That surprises me. If someone can dance to that, you know, there's still hope.
Yeah, I'm actually might be confusing it all because of you. Actually, I'm trying to think now.
Probably.
I think so. I'm trying to work out which one is which. The more danceable one would be all because of you, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Probably yes.
Yeah. That's right. I think that's what we're talking about. So we'll hear that. Okay, we're going to hear All Because of You. Yes, from Anna Ternheim, from his album, A Space for Lost Time. Right. So that's what All Because of You, from his new album, from Anna Ternheim aus Schweden. Das Album heißt A Space for Lost Time. And Anna is jetzt bei mir im Studio. Again, it's an obvious question in a sense for a songwriter, people to expect the music to be introverted, the songs to be very personal. I mean, do you think that's a must? Do you have to write from a personal point of view? Or does it sometimes, do you actually like the idea of writing songs like an author writing a book where it can be like a third person, it has nothing to do with you as such, you're just imagining being somebody else?
Yes, absolutely. I think as long as you can relate to the feelings you want to express or you're expressing, or to the story that you're telling, I think you can write about whatever you want. And I mean, in the end, the songs don't lie. I mean, it's only the person hearing it in the end that can say whether it affects them or not. But for me, when I write, I always have to start with myself somewhere within that story. But then, you know, I've written a lot of songs about love. It's not all just taken from my own personal love life. It's like everything that happens around me and my friends and also things I see and experience. It's like I take from everything.
Yeah, because the reason I asked you that was because it's the impression I get that as a listener, you can't be 100% sure some of the time, are you actually talking about yourself or are you actually talking about somebody else? Where there are songwriters where it's just so blatantly obvious, it can only be about themselves. It can't be about anybody else at all. And in your case, you do have something like a, almost like a wholesome, I wouldn't say it's a distance, but there is almost like a, I don't know what it is, but it's not, you don't give the game away too much, you know what I'm saying? So it can be open to interpretation. And it could be about you, it could be about your best friend or whatever, or it could be about somebody completely fictitious person, so.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is then, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to leave that space for the person listening. That's the kind of lyrics and songs that I'm drawn to myself. Because in the end, at least when I listen to music, I always make up my own stories. And, you know, the song is about me and wherever my imagination takes it. I wish, you know, people listening to my music can, you know, have their stories.
Yeah. Ja, ich fragte sie, wie persönlich die Songs eigentlich sind. Das ist immer so die Erwartung, die man hat. Ein Songwriter soll sein Innerstes nach außen kehren. Aber manchmal schreiben sie natürlich in der dritten Person oder sie schreiben Songs, die von anderen Menschen handeln. Und Anna meinte, dass es tatsächlich so ist bei ihr, dass ihre Songs zum Beispiel handeln sehr oft von der Liebe, aber es ist nicht immer ihr eigenes Leben, das da dargestellt wird. Manchmal handelt es auch von Leuten, die sie kennt, Freunde von ihr oder andere Leute, die sie kennengelernt hat. Und sie denkt, es ist eigentlich auch nicht so wichtig, ob es um sie geht oder um andere Menschen geht. Natürlich sind es ihre Gefühle, die das im Ausdruck bringen. Aber letztendlich geht es um die Wichtigkeit, also der Botschaft des Songs und wie persönlich das eigentlich ist. Ob es wirklich um sie geht persönlich, ob sie das hautnah erlebt hat, ist nicht wirklich wichtig. Als Künstler ist sie durchaus berechtigt, einfach quasi ihre Mitmenschen zu beobachten. Und es geht nicht nur um sie, sondern es geht um die Welt auch da draußen. Because you have done a few cover versions in the past as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
And there's one which I really like, the Tom Waits one.
Oh, really? You dug that one out?
Yeah.
Which was done quite a long time ago, wasn't it? Small EP.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Wherever I lay my head. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Because there have been a few versions of that. There was another version of that done by Scarlett Johansson, actually. Scarlett Johansson did one album.
Oh, wow.
Don't know if you heard it. And she did a version of it as well. So it's weird. Because, I mean, obviously, you're far too young to really know Tom Waits.
Definitely. I mean, I grew up with a father's record collection. So those were my early influences. And I did record with his guitar player a couple of years ago, Mark Ribot. But you're right. I don't know that much about Tom Waits.
Okay. So I always thought you were going to tell me what an expert you were and how you have this massive fan relationship to Tom Waits.
No, but he is a source of inspiration when it comes to his live performances and, you know, sort of the space that he's created for himself as an artist. And I think the record that I know is Rain Dogs, that, you know, the record cover, also shot by a Swede, Anders Pettersson, just completely stuck in my brain, seeing it as a kid being, you know, 5-6 years old.
Also sie hat schon im Laufe ihrer Karriere einige Coverversionen gemacht, zum Beispiel ein Lied von Tom Waits, Wherever I Lay My Hat. Und sie ist ganz überrascht, dass ich das gefunden habe, weil es wurde nur auf einer kleinen EP veröffentlicht. Und sie wundert sich, dass ich das überhaupt kenne. Und sie ist nicht wirklich ein Riesenfan von Tom Waits, aber sie respektiert ihn schon. Das Rain Dogs Album mag sie sehr gerne. Und es war irgendwie natürlich schon eine Art so Anerkennung von wichtigen Künstlern. Und sie hat einen Vater gehabt, der solche Musik gehört hat. Sie ist in Wirklichkeit aber viel zu jung, um das zu kennen. Und wir hören jetzt das Stück. Wir hören jetzt ihre Version, Anna Tenhams Version von dem Tom Waits Komposition Wherever I Lay My Hat. So das war Annas Version von Wherever I Lay My Hat von Tom Waits. Und ja, sie ist bei mir im Studio, Anna Tenheim aus Schweden. Do you think it's still important that you regard as being a Swedish artist? I mean, would you like to actually to shrug that off and just regard it as just being an international artist? Because I mean, being in New York is a statement in itself. Do you think it's still relevant to be regarded as that?
Well, I haven't really thought about that. I mean, I want to, you know, for as many people as possible to find my music. I still write songs in English. I tour all over Europe. But I'm very, very Swedish, right, and I happen to live in New York. I don't know. I really don't mind being called a Swedish artist. Yeah. Honestly, I haven't thought about it that much.
Which is a good thing, which proves that it doesn't bother you, obviously, no, that you don't.
No, it doesn't bother me.
Categorizes that, no?
No.
Okay, right. Ja, sie sagt, dass es gar kein Problem hat, also immer wieder als schwedische Künstlerin abgestempelt zu werden. Weil solche Künstler werden oft in einen Topf geworfen und das könnte man vielleicht als irgendwie, ja, dass man irgendwas dagegen hätte, dass man vielleicht irgendwie nicht genug als eigenständige Künstler dann betrachtet wird, sondern nur als Teil einer Gruppierung von Künstlern. Aber sie meinte, damit hat sie gar keine Probleme. Sie meinte, es ist so, wie es ist. Sie ist Schwedin. Sie fühlt sich immer noch schwedisch, sehr sogar. Aber sie lebt halt in New York City. So ist es nun mal. So to finish off, we're going to hear another track from the album, one I wanted to play before when I said it was danceable and I just got my wires crossed. We're going to hear Walk Your Own Way to finish off. Also zum Schluss haben wir jetzt Walk Your Own Way von dem neuen Album A Space for Lost Time von Anna Tenheim. Okay, well, thanks very much for coming out to talk to me. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I wish you all the best with the album. And, of course, with this prestigious gig coming up. oh, the Elfenomenie, which
it's going to be magical.
I'm sure it will be. It's going to be something special. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
So das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Zum Schluss hören wir jetzt Anna Ternheim von dem Album A Space for Lost Time mit dem Stück Walk Your Own Way. Und ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.